Saturday with Ted continues on News Talk 1010.
Is that worm music?
Yes, it's warm-up music.
Warm-up?
That's a tune called Bring On the Worms.
Oh, okay, very good.
Wrote that in 63.
My guest is Kathy Nesbitt, a worm advocate, founder of Kathy's Crawler Composters, and here to talk about vermicomposting. Now, you brought one of the strangest things that I've ever seen a guest bring. You said, well, here's our family picture, and there's a frame, okay? It's like a 5x8 picture of two hens filled with worms. Okay, this is the family. As I said, none of them look like you.
Thank you.
So I'm not sure if they're adopted or what the deal is. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm glad you're here. I'm truly very, very, very fascinated with the whole concept. Some people are all freaked out by worms. You know that.
I know. It's my 10th anniversary, so selling worms by the pound, it's not that easy.
How did you get into that?
Oh, well, that's too long of a question to answer, but the mission, I really believe that it's why I was put on Earth, to be a worm advocate. I was afraid of worms before starting my business.
Were you really?
I was. I wasn't like, okay, what am I afraid of? I'll have a business in that.
Well, it's like, I'm not big into snakes, nor heights, for that matter. So when they came out with that movie Snakes on Planes, you know, I went, well, no, that's not a film I want to go see. But apparently it was more campy than it was serious. But anyway, that's not about me.
Oh, but it is, Ted.
No. Vermicomposting.
Yeah.
Talk about the way that this benefits us.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is, I believe that worms are going to play an ever-increasing role in waste management and soil production, as well as food security. So this is indoor composting. So in 2002, the Kill Valley landfill closed and we started shipping garbage.
Mm-hmm.
This is indoor composting. These are special worms known as red wigglers. There's thousands of different types of worms. And they eat about half their weight per day in food scraps. So it's done inside a container about the size of a residential blue box before the wheels.
Yeah.
Some shredded papers, the bedding, could be leaves, straw, cardboard, any of your paper products. And then the nitrogen is the food scraps. So you just bury your food in the bedding. The worms eat it all, and then they convert it into nature's finest fertilizer that we can grow more nutritious.
So you're saying that those little things that the city supplies you with now, that people throw their food in and then they ended up just, you know, tying it in a bag and throwing that out, that this is much more practical.
Well, this is done on site. So this is done at right in people's homes. So the magic truck doesn't have to come and pick up the stuff at every house.
Would you throw in there?
Well, you would put in all of your fruit and vegetable peels, coffee, tea, pasta, rice, beans, grains, plant clipping, cereal. It's endless what you can put in, what stays out. No meat, no dairy, no sauce. So if you're not sure, you can leave those things out, put those in your green bin.
What about eggshells?
Eggshells are required. Worms require the calcium for reproduction. So you do need to add in the eggshells.
Okay, hold on. I'm trying to picture worms reproducing. I'm not sure how that works.
Okay, here, let me give you a little
drink first or what?
Well, worms are hermaphrodites, meaning male and female. Still takes two worms to reproduce. It's more fun anyway, having two. The swollen band on the...
I'm on side. I think we got a hands in the air from everybody on that. Yeah. Do you have any threesomes at all?
I haven't seen that yet, but you never know.
That was from Mike. Thank you, Mike, for that.
Maybe. So the swollen band on the worm, after the worms have mated, that swollen band secretes a substance which forms the worm egg, and they both produce a cocoon or worm egg.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple babies in each egg, so it's a phenomenal reproduction that the worms have.
Okay, so let's go back to this vermicomposting. So I've got this container, and I've got shredded paper on the bottom of it,
mm-hmm.
and then I've got all these red worms.
Yes.
And the worms are in there already without soil?
You need to add about a liter of soil in a container that size. You're adding, the red wigglers are not soil dwellers like the nightcrawler.
Mm-hmm.
But they require the microorganisms and grit to break down the food.
Okay.
Since they don't have teeth.
All right, so then you've got this dirt sitting on top of the paper, and then throughout the course of the day you're having you're having an orange. You throw the peels in there, and maybe you've got a little bit left of your tomato that you didn't finish. You put that in there. All the things that can go in there during the course of the day, they're eating these things, and then they come out, as compost. When do you know that that compost can then be used, for example, for your garden?
Wonderful. So this, so it's about 3 to 5 months from setup to harvest with a basic kit. So in about, depending on how small you chop your pieces, the worms don't have teeth, so that speeds up the process. It's about 3 to 5 months, and you'll see quite a bit of compost in the bottom. Mm-hmm. You can get about 20 pounds of castings in about 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then you need to be hands-on if you have a basic kit, which is dumping the whole thing out, putting it in small round piles. The worms are photosensitive or afraid of the light. They go down into the piles, scoop off the top, scoop around the sides. The worms will keep escaping from the light. Maybe an hour to do a bin that the size of a residential blue box. Then you set up your new bedding, add the worms back in. Because of their phenomenal reproduction, you can, hopefully you'll have twice as many worms by harvest time. You can add them all back in. They'll work it out for themselves. Or you can split your worms and have a bigger capacity to manage your scraps.
And what about the odor of just the food scraps?
Wonderful. So this is aerobic process, meaning with oxygen. So it should never smell like rotting food. If it smells like rotting food, it's rotting food and not composting. So you really use your nose. The worms, they breathe through their skin, so they require oxygen in the system as well. So it smells, it's an earthy smell. It's not a bad kind of offensive mm-hmm. odor.
Right.
If it smells bad, it's methane, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And which is that sort of that rotten egg kind of, or is it?
Correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, it smells offensive.
Right. Okay. And so like your place, for example, do you have how many of these things in your kitchen?
Well, we have a large, in our kitchen, we have actually two systems. We actually have a tower composter. Can you pass me? So the tower composter is made, it's called the Worm Chalet, and it's made in Ontario. How fabulous. And this takes away the need to harvest. So the worms, there's three trays, there's holes in the bottom of each tray, and the worms will migrate to the next level. And there's a way at the bottom to capture the liquid. So this is a really beautiful continuous flow system.
Right. And you got to tell me how you stumbled upon this, though. I mean, I know you said it's a long story, but
okay.
I mean, I'm curious as to how somebody gets into this.
Well, the worms kept coming back to me. Several years ago, maybe 15 years or more now, I looked after a teacher's worm bin for the summer. As an avid gardener and composter, I knew the value of the compost, but I was afraid of the worms.
Right.
So I took on the challenge. I think we should try things and then decide if it's for us or not. It was kind of a disaster because instead of managing my worm bin, I would throw the food in. So I was a fruit fly farmer. There's no point in being a fruit fly farmer. There's no market. Nobody's buying fruit flies. They're hard to catch. They die in a day or two. So
they're annoying.
They're annoying. They bug us. They're bugs. I think that happened to me so that now when people say to me, oh, what about fruit flies? I can say, well, if you manage your scraps and you do it properly, fruit flies are not a necessary component.
Right.
But they coexist quite nicely.
Well, fruit flies are real problematic in restaurants and uh-huh. establishments that serve alcohol because they have those little spouts on top of the bottle, right? The pouring spouts.
Yes.
And they get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start, you know, gunking up the bottles and
right.
stuff.
Yeah, it's a big problem. But there's certainly things you can do. You can rinse any of your fruit peels, which they're fruit flies, so they're on the peels, before adding them into the system. And then really making sure that your scraps are covered, you don't get fruit flies. I do a lot of school workshops, so it's really important that they not get an outbreak of fruit flies because they definitely will bug somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. And then you start getting letters and notes.
Well,
and
you know, and who
and
wants that?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
And so why the red wigglers as opposed to the other worms? Like if somebody wanted to do this, where would they get these worms? They can't just dig them up in their own garden.
Thank you for that. That's the piece I always forget. So this is our business. There are thousands of types of worms. The net crawler that comes out after a rain is one type, or the dew worm that you fish with. Red wigglers are another kind. Out of the thousands of types of worms, there's only about 4 species that are ideal for composting. You're looking for surface dwellers. So the red wigglers are living on the top 6 inches of the bin.
Mm-hmm.
Plus they have their copious diet. The night crawler doesn't eat nitrogen, so they wouldn't eat food scraps, but they would eat the carbon. The red wigglers eat both the carbon and nitrogen, so the paper and the food scraps. And it's a great way if somebody's worried about identity theft. If you feed your shredded up MasterCard payments to, after you paid it, of course.
Yes.
Nobody's piecing that back together.
Right after you shred up your dollars. So you've got one of these things in your house, and how often, you said 4 or 5 months, but before you can utilize it as actual compost for your garden?
That's right. And it's very nutrient rich. It's water soluble, so it won't burn your plants, but you know, you want to use it sparingly because it will go a long way. You don't really need a lot to grow beautiful fruits
right.
and vegetables. Uh-huh.
This is quite, you've got a bucket of worms
here. I have a bucket of worms. Do you know what the name is for a group of worms?
No.
A school of fish, a gaggle of geese?
No, I don't.
Starts with S and rhymes with worm, and it's the name of my documentary, Ted.
A squirm of worms?
A squirm of worms.
No.
And
I
swear.
Are you serious? A squirm of worms?
A squirm of worms. Google it.
Why would you lie to me about something like that, Kathy? Honest to God.
And you know when that word was coined, Ted? In 2002, the year I started my business. I couldn't have had a worm business before 2002.
Well, who decides what's going to be the official collective?
Is that a collective noun?
Is that what that is?
It's a collective noun, yes. Very well. Very good. It was Mary Appelhoff and Susan Antler from the Composting Council who, I don't know if there was others involved, but they came up with the official name.
Hmm.
How fabulous. Aren't they cute?
Oh, yeah. Do you have names for them?
Well, they have 5 hearts, 8 each.
Do you have to take them for a walk?
No, they're very simple creatures to care for. Feed them your scraps.
All right.
Okay,
we're going to take a break, and we come back, Kathy will stay with us here, and Kathy Nesbitt is our guest. It's 11:46 at News Talk 1010. Let's check Time Saver Traffic.
You're listening to Saturday with Ted. On News Talk 1010.
That actually sounds wormish, that music, Bill.
Yes, that's Worm Dance from 1964. I wrote that one.
You're such a... You know
yes,
what?
Well, no, it's out on
Let me put it
iTunes.
This way. You don't need compost. You know what I mean?
No.
So, Kathy Nesbitt, worm advocate, founder of Kathy's Crawley Composters. A fascinating idea. So this is you call it the black gold. This is the actual compost. This is what you get out of the deal, right?
Exactly, yes. So some people do worm composting because they care about the environment, so they want to look after their garbage. This is a great solution for anybody that lives in an apartment. Anyone without a backyard for doing outdoor composting or access to a green bin.
Mm-hmm. So as opposed to the compost bins that we have now, where does that stuff go?
It depends on the week. It gets shipped around. Sometimes the plants get closed for odor issues, and there's a lot of issues with rotting food because I'm sure you've smelled a bag of potatoes gone bad.
Mm.
It smells pretty bad. So if you take all of the tons that are in the system.
So how could you possibly use this on a bigger scale?
Well, although it can be done on a large scale, our focus is really the individual looking after their own.
Right.
So schools, individual schools, classes, restaurants, businesses.
And you go around to schools to lecture?
I do a lot of schools.
Kids must love that.
They love it. They really do get the concept.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did a wonderful workshop in a grade 2 class. I love all the kids, but some of them, you can see the wheels turning in their head. And this boy said, after I did my little worm dance, he said, okay, so if I eat a banana and I feed the peel to the worms and the worms eat it and they turn it into compost and then I grow food and I started clapping and I said, yes, tell your parents that you need worms.
Huh.
You know, they get it. They really get the concept. I think as adults, we can't get over the fear of worms. You know, worms in the house, what is that? What?
Yeah, and yet worms would be the last thing that I'd worry about in my house.
You know? Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, that wouldn't bother me at all.
Of course. Even as a worm farmer, I rarely see dead worms. They're mostly water, so even when they die, they decompose overnight, get consumed by the others. And people say, well, can they get out of the bin? Yes, they can. We haven't trained them to stay in, but they are eating half their weight. They don't have eyes, so they can't see. There's no point in going sightseeing around your house, because they would die.
They don't have eyes?
They don't have eyes. They feel vibrating.
And yet they're having sex. Not to say that people who are visually impaired can't have sex. I wish I hadn't said that. Come to think of it right now, I know. I'm trying to hold on. Can we go backwards? New York, New York, New York, New York. Okay, there we go. Never mind. It was just a cheap venture for a cheap joke, which probably backfired on me.
It's the worms, Ted. They do that to people.
Yeah, and yet these things are and this is all like free, really, when you think
absolutely
about it.
It really is. And the worms have been around for millions of years waiting to help us with their with our garbage. Their time has come. And I believe that that's why I've become a worm advocate at this time, why I was afraid, because I do a lot of exhibiting and people will say, well, what are you doing here? When they find out that I have worms, you know, sometimes people take a, they visibly.
Okay. Oh, my God, that woman's got worms. That's okay. My neighbor's got crabs. Bada boom.
Oh, no, no. Back to sex again.
No, I didn't say it. No, I was talking about crustaceans. How could a segment on worms possibly go so bad?
Well, they have five hearts each. Maybe that's why. All that love. They are loving creatures.
And what do you do with the compost? Are you gardener?
I am an avid gardener. I sell it in 2-liter cartons, so it comes in assorted flavors.
You've got it in a natural
milk carton, fructose-free
milk carton.
I have people saving cartons, and we've diverted about 5,000 cartons to date, so they get a second use at least. We do worm birthday parties, and it's also the 2-liter. The loot bag is a 2-liter milk or juice carton on its side, cut open. It's a mini kit, so everybody goes home with a half a dozen worms or so. It's so fun. Not everybody's happy about that.
How much would a lactose-free
$5
compost cost?
$5. Yeah, so we don't really. My goal really is for people to do this, mm-hmm. to make their own compost. That's what I would really like. The worms are also good in addition for food scraps and paper for manure management.
Right.
So they'll reduce manure piles by up to 80%, reducing or eliminating gram-negative bacteria.
No.
E. coli.
This has been quite fascinating. I'm so happy you came in.
I'm so happy too. Well, it's Earth Month. Can I just say it's Earth Month and there's no more earthly creatures than the worms.
Kathy'sComposters.com. That's where you can go. It's Kathy with a C. Kathy'sComposters.com. Kathy Nesbitt, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
All the best to you, and let me just say goodbye to the worms.
See you around, guys.
11:52 at News Talk 1010.
I got worms.
I beg your pardon?
That's what we're going to call it. I got worms. We're going to specialize in selling worm farms. You know, like ant farms.